South Africans doing great things.
You are at liberty to interact with us at any given point, at any given time of the show, because you could also know other South Africans doing great things. But the one in front of us this evening is none other than Alien Magumbi, poultry farmer, entrepreneur, extraordinaire, and generally a fantastic human being and a wonderful South African. Alien, thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to 702.
No, thank you very much, Thabo, for having me and for the invite here.
Yeah. Chicken farming, but that's not how it started. Someone wouldn't look at you and think that you are a poultry farmer. Yeah.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
You know, in life, when you get into this journey of life, there's a lot of things that you experience and there's a lot of things that you think you are.
Yeah.
Until God, the universe, reveal the true you and the things that you can be good at, that you can do.
Yeah.
Me by profession, I've got a background of construction.
Yeah.
I did construction.
Really?
Yeah, here I am.
Now you are tending to chickens, from bricks to chickens. A very interesting transition.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you to come closer to the microphone. I see that you are a bit shy, but when you are tending to chickens, you are not as timid. So, Alan, so you said you started off in construction. Let's start right there, perhaps. I mean, when you were entering business, you saw a lucrative opportunity in construction. Tell us a little bit about that before we come to the poultry farm.
So thank you very much again, Thabo. When I started in construction, I was reading a newspaper, actually.
Mm.
I think it was on a Soweto newspaper. And then I was reading about Medupi Power Station.
Mm.
So that was like...
The famous Medupi
Power Station.
Yeah.
So I'm not causing load shedding. But when I read in the newspaper, I read about this big power station that is going to empower South African and the neighboring countries. So I wanted to understand what is really happening. And by the time from high school, I was doing business and accounting.
Mm.
So I started to do a research about that. Then I realized this big power station is going to create employment and bring opportunities. So I immediately deviated from what I was doing, actually. Mm. So it's not the first time I deviated. So I deviated and then I went to register for civil and engineering. And
Then that's
where I started.
Yeah.
And when I started Maureen Roberts, I joined them and then they took me to Dubi Power Station where we were like a group of young teenagers.
Yes.
We brought that side. That's where we started. We were the first people to arrive in Medupi Power Station in Lephalale there.
Mm.
So I was the first person actually to even lay a foundation of, in the ACC. I was in the air cooling condenser, that side.
Yeah.
So we started there. I was, started like as a, they used to call us multi-skilled. So
yes,
we're just doing anything, everything. Like, you know, they didn't even want to look at our qualifications at the time.
So you're the people to blame for load shedding?
No. we were pushing for it. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Yeah. So I started, that's where my construction started there.
Mm.
And then I worked with Maureen Roberts. And then after that, I had to look at other industries, you know.
Yes.
And while I was working for Maureen Roberts, and then I started joining Group 5. When I joined Group 5, I did a building at Santen, 90 Rivonia, Wepa Wenzel, Forest Hill Mall, and all those the N4 road also.
Yes.
Then when I was there, the industry was growing. And
then
I joined Power Construction.
Yeah.
When I joined Power Construction, I was joining with the experience of the power station I got from Medupi. So they sent me to the Eastern Cape for the very first time. I was in the Eastern Cape. I was doing the renewable energy, the wind turbines that you see.
Yes.
So I did a lot of projects in Titicama, in Jeffreys Bay, in Humansdorp.
Oh,
so I've contributed to the energy. So
so
that was the space. And then until I came back to Joburg, there was no more projects in that renewable space.
Mm.
So the company brought us back this side. And when I came this side, I was doing warehouses. I joined a company called Abidale Construction.
Yes.
We were doing warehouses. We did a warehouse for BMW in Waterfall. I did a bridge for Komatsu in the Middledale side.
Mm.
So when I was working, I was also saving by the time.
Yeah.
You know, and I said, look, I think I'm still young. Let me explore. Let me do my own business.
Yes.
But in my head, everything was construction because now I'm exposed to construction. I wasn't even thinking about chicken or anything else. So I started buying TLB. I'm like, I will start with the TLB.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I bought a Skorokoro TLB.
Yes.
Yeah, so
trying to save money.
Trying to save money, but that TLB took everything that I had because it kept on breaking.
Oh, so my. Yeah, fixing it all the time.
All the time. So I end up selling the TLB for like, I think it's like 160,000.
Yeah.
And then there was nothing to do. Then now I'm starting from scratch and I must start looking for work and all those things. And by the time it was 2018.
Yes.
Then I get into a product. Actually, I saw an exhibition here that was happening in Dubai.
Yes.
I said, no, this time I'm going to Dubai.
Yeah, yeah.
So I took some smaller money that I had. Booked my ticket. I went to the exhibition
For the exhibition.
Yeah, for the exhibition.
Yeah. What exhibition was it?
Was it a construction? It was a world paper exhibition.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was a stationary exhibition.
But what attracted you to that? From bricks and construction to that.
So what happened is like I used to do a lot of printing when I was in the construction space.
Okay.
So now I didn't know, I wanted to do something and to be able to have like that business that can be sustainable and create employment. Was I always wanted to create employment, like empowering people and all that. So then I'm like, no, let me do from the construction, let me do paper.
Yeah.
You know, I saw paper. I'm like, I'll start with paper.
Yeah.
And then the other part that I almost forgot, I also did food powder. You know?
Yeah.
It's because I was in the construction space. I saw a demand of food powder. You know, you wear safety boots on site.
Okay.
And then they smell those things. You wear them the whole day. So I went to Pretoria. I partnered with this lab in Pretoria.
Yeah.
Astras. So those guys, they started branding food powder of my own.
Yeah.
And then I was selling food. I was on site.
So you put the powder inside the boots to get rid of the smell.
Yeah.
Mainly.
And look, you can even take your boots.
How
inside.
Did that go?
It was a good business, but I didn't have time.
Yeah.
Because I was working. So I had two sites by the time. I had this one of Senten.
Yes.
And the one in Forest Hill.
Yeah.
So in those sites, I had like four runners, you know.
Yeah.
So I had four runners and two of them were security guards.
Yes.
So I'll give those guys books. I'm like, hey, sell this for me. Yeah. Sell this for me.
Yeah.
So they would, it was doing great.
Yeah.
I will order, it was doing great. Yeah. But the focus was not longer there.
Yeah. And that's always a problem if you do not necessarily have sufficient attention on your own product and you depend on other people to look to look out for your own business.
Correct. Because, I mean, look, if the vision is yours, even if you bring people, but you can, as much as you explain to them, if they are not committed and they are not full-time on it also, that's where things go wrong.
I mean,
it didn't go well. And also, I was not looking at like making it with it at the time.
Mm.
I was like, cause I was working, I've got a salary, you know, comfort zone, I'm fine. I'm just doing this as like a side hustle, something like that. Mm. So while it was moving on that, going back to the paper story, then I booked the ticket to go to Dubai. I didn't know anyone by the time.
Yeah. You know? So you're going to the exhibition now in Dubai.
I go
the
for
paper
the
paper exhibition.
Look, and that's my first one. There's another one that's coming in time where you will laugh.
Yeah. And then you land in Dubai. What happens?
I land in Dubai. I've booked the hotel. I get there.
Yeah.
And then I asked at the hotel, I'm going for this exhibition. I registered online as a visitor. It's free.
Yeah.
You know, it's for your knowledge, your wisdom. I go there. I'm seeing around. I'm looking. There's a company that I connected with. It's called NGK.
Mm.
You know, those guys, they asked me, where are you from? I told them, I'm from South Africa. What are you representing? I'm like, I'm representing me.
Yeah,
you
myself.
Know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that's where the engagement started.
Yeah.
So I started to understand what they do. They manufacture paper. You know, the A4 paper,
yes.
The printing paper.
Yes.
So while I was there, at high school, my friends used to call me Smooth. You know?
Yeah.
Then I became with this brand called Smooth.
Yeah.
So I did an agreement with those guys. I didn't have money by the time.
Yeah.
Did an agreement. I said, look, I can move papers for you in South Africa, but then you need to give me this opportunity.
Yes.
If you can give me one container, I'll move it for you.
Yeah.
You know, but I want my own brand. By
yes.
This time. It worked, Taubo.
Really? So they gave you an opportunity.
They gave me an opportunity.
One container.
Guys. They don't know me at all.
Yeah. How much paper is in there?
Oh, it's a lot.
Plenty.
Plenty. Plenty, yeah. It's like,
so you're selling office paper to companies, look, to everyone else.
I came back. My container arrived. I had a facility storage here in Midrand.
Yeah.
I was supplying Postnet, Eastgate, I supplies Westgate, I supplied a lot of offices.
What?
I mean, at some point, my paper was even at Spa here in Joburg.
Yeah.
I go and present with my box. I'm like, I'm selling this paper.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could sell anything. That's
yes.
Like, they agreed. And there was a different concept that these guys were doing in Dubai. They were producing this paper. It used to be smooth. It doesn't stuck with the printer. So
yeah.
We were using like coconut. They used to put coconut oil on it. So it's so smooth. It can run at any speed.
Yeah.
So I've managed to do that. Second container comes in. There's another gentleman that lives in Sandton. I went to that gentleman. There was like a conference that they support schools, like the non-privileged school in Alexander. Mm. So I attended that thing, you know, just to give my input and also. So I connected with this other gentleman called Paul. Mm. Paul asked me, what do you do? I'm like, I'm doing this paper. I pitched to him.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even have funding.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
This gentleman is like, no, let me help you. He invited me to his home. We sat down, he agreed, I pitched to him. He assisted me, give me some funding to bring in
the
more containers. Then I bring now a 40 container, big one.
Yes.
It brings there, I bring it. Now I'm starting to distribute. The unfortunate part, it was November. So December we need to close and all that.
Yeah.
I will close, we lock our storage.
Yeah.
I'll go and check my my stock.
Mm.
Then December holiday, I go to vend.
Yeah.
January when I come back, the stock is gone.
What?
Look, the stock of like 1.4, 1.6 million was gone.
Goodness me, stolen.
Stolen, yeah. Stolen.
So the warehouse is empty.
Empty, and it was a rental a storage facility.
Oh my goodness. The insurance, was it a break-in?
There was a break-in, yeah, but only in our units. I had two units, you know.
Yeah.
And then they were all staked in, filled with papers. So then, back to square one.
Oh my goodness me.
I don't have anything. By the time I was starting only to learn about insurance, which I advise every entrepreneur, young, old, get insurance, try to insure your
business.
I didn't have insurance. I lost everything.
You lost everything. So what did you say to your suppliers? What did you say to the people who gave you that stock?
No, the first one when we managed to pay it back.
I see.
Yeah.
Because that was a free one, the very first one. So you made profit and then you managed to pay
for it. We managed to pay them back. Yeah.
But the second one, you got funding from Paul.
From Paul.
Yeah.
Now it's me and Paul. We are stuck.
Oh my goodness.
It's gone. Then we started fighting with this storage company. Look, we invested in you. We want our money back.
Yeah.
They bring their people. They did investigation. I think they gave us like 300,000 rand. They said this is only what they can cover.
Oh my goodness.
By the time, there's nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, back to square one.
Yeah.
Nothing, you know.
After all that progress.
After all this trouble, now we're trying to make it. Because I had two people that are working for me at the time, you know. And it's painful. Because it's still what is happening, what we do to one another as South Africans. Mm. It's we're trying to grow, but sometimes we pull each other back, you know, because somebody wants to make a success and you want to make a success, but on an easier way or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I feel we need to address this issue of crime and poverty, you know, because at the end of the day, they pull you backwards, you know,
certainly.
Trying to build our economy and our country.
Yeah. Especially if you are an entrepreneur, because you are depending on your initiatives, you are depending on enterprising, you are depending on being industrious by yourself. This person is giving you help, this person is giving you help, and you're bringing the resources together.
Exactly.
And so, but now, after such a huge setback of losing stock worth over 1.3 million rands, how do you start all over again? Because I can see someone just losing hope, being depressed, and just falling flat on their faces and saying, I'll dust off my CV, I'll just go back to work.
Look, I that was the first thing. I'm like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to Paul, look, we'll see how we can bring the funds back.
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is, like, for me, I didn't have anything else. Because that was like my bread and butter. Now it's gone.
It's gone, yeah.
Ooh, I don't know who's going to assist me anymore, you know. And I'm sitting in that stage, and by the way, I lost my parents back. So I'm like this gentleman. I'm like, who am I going to talk to now?
Yes,
I can't call mommy.
All alone.
You get what I'm saying? So the only thing that one could do that I grew up with was prayer. Kept on praying all the time, you know.
Yeah.
Then I called those guys in Dubai.
I can.
I'm like, ish. This is what happened.
Yeah, we've got a problem.
We've got a problem. So this other guy said, okay, it's fine. Come this side. Let's see what we can do.
Yeah, come to Dubai again.
Come to Dubai.
Let's talk face to face. We don't hear you properly
You've
over
got
the
what
phone.
I'm saying. So now I'm going to Dubai. I'm like, look, I'm going there. I'm coming back with business again.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm going there. I'm coming back. I get there. And by the time, these are the people I know in Dubai.
Yes.
I know. This is the people I know.
Yeah.
So now I get there. So this other guy, he's from Jordan original, but now he has built a family with those guys in the Arabs guys.
Yeah.
So now I'm part of the family. At that time, they're like, look, they give you citizenship. You can stay here.
Yeah.
But I was not even there.
No.
I'm thinking I need to build South Africa.
Hey,
I must go back.
For sure.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now I get there. These guys, they receive me. They tell me, okay, so this is what happened. I'm like, yeah. So this other guy, he said to me, but you're from Africa. I'm like, He's like, okay, there's something I want to show you.
Yeah.
I said, okay, cool. We drove out of Dubai for like maybe almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
So when we got there, there was a facility. They do this, you know, this shisha, this habli thing that people smoke.
Oh, The habli babli.
Yeah, the habli babli. Yeah. So in Dubai, that's they call it a shisha.
Okay.
So now I gave the guy, there's a lot of coal in that yard.
Mm.
They're doing that production of that thing.
Mm, the charcoal.
The charcoal. Mm. You know, they show me this, but they're like, do you have this tree? I'm like, oh, where is this tree coming from? These are those law. We bring some from Nigeria, and then we're bringing some, I think it was from Ethiopia. I'm like, okay. I'm like, no, we've got this coal, man.
Yeah.
They said, serious, can you find? I'm like, yeah, I can find this coal.
Yeah.
I said, sharp. I took sample.
Yeah,
you know, I wrapped them nicely. I said, "I sharp." Now we're no longer talking the paper.
Yeah, you're now talking charcoal.
Charcoal. They say, "Look,
around,
you bring this tree. We are funding you immediately. We give you upfront. You supply us with this.
Yeah,
with this charcoal.
Yeah.
I came back.
Yeah. Now you are in Mzansi.
I'm in Mzansi.
Running.
I'm excited.
You are looking for charcoal.
I'm looking for that thing. But I contacted all the guys that do charcoal in South Africa.
Yeah.
I went to Pretoria. I went to Witbank, Mpumalanga. I end up being in Mozambique.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because they've got this nice coal with the 80 kg bags on the road. I went there.
Yeah.
I got a lot of samples.
Yeah.
And when I came back, I'm like, I called the guys. I'm like, I've got the sample.
Yeah.
Same exact sample, I've got it.
Yeah.
They said, are you sure? Yeah, I said, I've got it.
Yeah.
And that is 2019.
Yes.
I said, I've got this thing. They said, okay. No, try to send the sample. I'm like, yeah, but come with the sample. I'm like, I'll do that.
Yes.
I go to this gentleman. He stays in Hartebeest.
Yeah.
He was working for Green Road.
Yeah.
I'm like, sorry, Baba, I want to send these samples to Dubai.
To Dubai.
You see them. It's like, okay, flammable, okay. It'll cost you so much.
Yeah.
By the time I don't have that man.
Yes.
Hey, Tabo, you won't believe. I booked my ticket.
Yeah.
And by the time, in that side in Dubai, they use only charcoal. They don't have briskets. You know those briskets
we
do?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
So by the time I took a 10 kg bag of briskets, and I've got 10 kg bag, different layers of different charcoals I've got there. I took my luggage bag.
Oh my. You're putting that in your luggage bag.
Look, I'm not even thinking. Look, I'm not even thinking anything.
How are you going to go through?
Oh my God. Look, I.
Yeah, you're like, I've got this sorted.
I put my things there, put my clothes on top.
Yeah.
It's like I'm smuggling something.
Oh my gosh.
I put those things there, my clothes. Go to the airport.
Yeah.
They ask me, does your bag have? They show me this. You've got guns.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't have
customs,
those things.
Yeah.
I checked in my bag.
Yeah.
Now I land in Dubai.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I take my bag.
I'm like,
Dubai, there's always exhibition.
Yes.
But that time there was an exhibition, but I was not even sure what exhibition was. Because I'm going for this specific.
Yes.
Hey, take out my bag. Hey, somewhere, somehow, these people, they see something in my bag.
Yeah, they stop you.
Hey, they stopped me.
Yeah.
When they stopped me, I know I've got something in my bag. I'm like, oh, it's just charcoal. Yeah. It's coal. Mostly.
Yes.
Ah, they called me there. I go to this office. And now, remember, you're meeting these people. The English is not proper.
Yeah.
You know? So you're going to have that struggle. Hey, these people, they've closed their face. These officers, they're there.
Yeah.
You know? They say, how are you, Sam? I'm good. Where are you coming from? South Africa.
Yeah.
I showed them the bus. Okay, South Africa. Yeah. Yes, yes. Manila. Yes.
Yeah.
Good. I'm like, I'm good shot.
Yeah.
Now. Okay, we see something. Open the bag. Yeah, open the bag. When I open the bag, there's clothes on top.
Yes.
I took out my clothes. Now this one is asking, what is this?
Yeah.
The only answer I gave them said it's for exhibition.
Yeah.
That's the only answer I gave them.
Yes.
But this is not burning. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Sample exhibition. That's,
yeah.
I didn't even say a lot of things.
Sample exhibition.
No, sample exhibition.
Yeah.
Then there was a lady then. I think they were asking that lady in Arabic, okay.
Yeah.
Still, that lady confirmed, I think there's an exhibition.
Yes.
I just said that guy said, exhibition. He said it. I'm like, yes.
Lucky break.
Lucky break. Yeah. I passed with my sample.
Yeah.
When I go to those guys, when I took out my bag, they said, where's the sample? I'm like, in here.
Yeah.
They're like, no.
There's no way.
There's no way.
Yeah.
I said, yes. So I got into the sample, proper. I signed a deal there.
Now you are supplying Dubai with charcoal.
That charcoal,
they
cut it nicely and make that shisha coal.
Yes,
that block shisha
the
coal.
Round one. Yeah.
The round one.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're supplying it as raw, like you know, the normal charcoal cut. But the tree is different.
I see.
Yeah, the tree is different. It's very slim and straight. So they just cut it and put in the machine.
Yeah.
So I was supplying that tree. It was coming from Witbank. It's a special tree.
Yes.
So I was supplying it. I did one container.
Yeah.
When we come, it was a trial run.
Yeah.
They said, it's proper.
Yeah.
2020, we are bringing 4 containers.
Yeah.
COVID came.
Oh, my goodness. 2020.
2020.
Yo, just when you have a big, big break.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey, my brother.
Then everything has to stop. It's COVID time now.
Everything.
No movement.
Nothing.
Oh, my goodness. Me.
There's no money.
Yes.
Hey. So it was But you know when it's that first week, you're like, no, it's going to pass. And we didn't panic that much.
Yeah,
like,
we thought it's coming and going.
Yeah,
and we thought, the lockdown is going to pass. Let's just bite the bullet 2-3 weeks and then we back again.
Then I'm like, I know. Sure, I will continue.
Yeah.
This thing comes. Yeah. Now, you know, you're waiting for it to open because you want to do a project. And by the time, while I was doing the call, I was busy in discussion with Turkey.
Yes.
You know, I had a friend, he was from Turkey, Selim, he was this side. So already, I was engaging this other company called Ulusoy, which the store will merge when you go to the poultry side. So this company is called Ulusoy. It's from Turkey.
Mm.
So we engaging that we must have a branch this side.
Yes.
They do railways, you know, everything that is do with your HTE, you know, all those electronic stuff for the trains. So I was bringing that company this side.
Yeah, but firstly, let's finish this.
Yeah.
So due to COVID, we are done with charcoal.
Yeah.
No more charcoal. Bye-bye. And unfortunately, COVID interrupted your business.
Yeah.
Now you are entering another venture with the people from Turkey this time around.
Yes.
And it's got to do with railway. What do you do with railway products?
So railway product, we were going to manufacture this side.
Yeah.
The electric stuff, your insulators, you know. Contact wires.
Yes.
So the agreement was I'm going to be the BE partner this side.
Yes.
And then we open a factory this side.
Yeah.
We manufacture, some will assemble this side. Then we can be able to supply your Prasa, your Transnet, your Haltrain, all those guys. But all that also was disturbed by that COVID.
Oh my goodness.
So then we didn't have that discussion further.
Yeah.
So now when that COVID came, I'm like, look, it must quickly pass because I've got two opportunities now that I need to really push on them, you know. Then COVID, hey, this person
and
is
it messed up a whole lot of things.
Then I'm like, there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
2 months now, I started driving around.
Yeah.
I went to Kruger's Dorp. I met this company. They do sanitizers. I'm like, hey, I need sanitizers.
It's COVID time. Everyone is doing masks. Sanitizers. Yeah, gloves. You
know, all those. I'm like, no, why not?
Let me.
Yeah. Then people contact me. Like, you know, there's people just know, hey, don't you have this thing? I'm like, no, I do have this thing.
Yeah,
I can supply.
Yes.
You know, so I'll go to those guys of Kruger Drops, sign then an agreement with them. I'm going to supply.
Mm.
Anything that needs to go, I'm your supplier this side. I'll bring supply. So I started marketing myself on the social media for the PPE stuff and all those things. And then I started registering, you know, national treasuries and all the departments. I wanted to be the supplier.
Yeah.
You know? Then we started doing the supply and all those things. So I was investing the money. So get the money you save. Yes. Get the money you save.
Yeah.
So then in that COVID now started like doing your PPE. I'm supplying this. I'm supplying your thermometers, your mask, you know, your sanitizers. Then the money. So now I'm like essential service. I even applied for that letter.
Yeah,
so I
was
to move around. You know, I was an essential worker.
Yeah.
So, but while I'm in the middle of that, especially the day I was driving to Krugersdorp, I saw there's a lot of farms in Magaliesberg side. The staff is operational. They are working there. Then I'm like trying to understand. What is it? I went to this facility. It's called the Cradle or something.
Yeah.
I went inside. I wanted to understand what do they do. They said, no, we're far. We do chicken. We do cabbage and all those things. They said, look, if you've got something, we've got chicken houses, you can start utilizing those chicken houses.
Really?
Yes. I said, okay, what do you need? They said, no, we can just give you the list, because they were not also fully operational.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I said, no, I'll take 3 of these houses.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Nothing. I didn't know anything about this. They started giving me, okay, you need to get day old chicks.
Yeah.
Then we can. Where do I get those things?
They tell you where to get chicks.
You get what I'm saying? They tell me those things. You can get them there.
And you started with how many?
It was 2 houses of 2,000 chickens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So 2,000 chicks in each house.
In each house.
Yes.
So I was basically doing 4,000 chickens in a cycle. So, okay. I do that. They buy my chicken in that facility.
Oh, so they give you. They house your chickens, but they also buy from you.
Yes. So they
after
buy
after how many? 12 weeks?
No, 6 weeks.
6 weeks.
Yeah, it's like the cycle is 6 weeks for a chicken to grow. 36 days. Yeah.
Oh my.
So some we can take it 32 days to be a baby chicken.
Yeah.
So we were doing like 36 days for that full chicken.
Yeah.
So because I didn't have the market who I'll supply.
Yes.
So they will buy from me those chickens.
Yeah.
And then they'll supply out and all that. Yeah. You know? So I did that. I'm like, okay, it's
moving.
It's moving. It's good business. Okay. But I'm pushing the sanitizer. Then after that, I visited, there's an abattoir called Eaglesville next to me.
Yes.
So I visited this abattoir with this other guy I was close with. We want to propose to supply them. I had this product called BioProtect.
It
covers the surface for like 7 days, like, you know, and then on hand it's like it can cover you for the whole day. You don't have to sanitize anymore. And on the surface it's 30 days. You don't get any viruses or anything else. So I was pushing that product. I'm like, I want to push it at this abattoir. So I go to this abattoir. I'm presenting this BioProtect sanitizer. I'm like, look, if you have this product, your meat will be protected, everything.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about buying sanitizer every day and all those things. They said, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, I'm giving them the report. It's been tested, the lab, everything.
Yeah.
This guy, they said, okay, cool. So now I'm like, because I was presenting, but I'm not sure how, I'm like, so what do you really do here? This guy started unpacking the factory manager.
Yeah.
At the point that he even took me to the factory to see.
Yeah.
What they're doing with chickens. I've never seen a lot of chicken in my life like that.
Really? Now at that place?
At that place, they slaughter like 80,000 chicken in a day. I saw a lot of chicken hanging, rounding.
80,000 chickens in a day?
Yeah.
Please hold that thought. Please hold that thought.
Yeah.
Because I just want to invite the listeners to participate. And my guest, Alen Magumbi, who is... an entrepreneur, a business individual, a poultry farmer with a company called Ulusoy. We are just talking about South Africans doing great things. And doing great things, by the way, means that you come across a number of challenges, but you still stand up after being knocked out. Knocked down after falling, you dust yourself, you try again and again and again. And generally, we've been talking about his journey into entrepreneurship. Alien Magumbi, who is our guest here, and also the owner of a poultry farm company called Ulusoy. So, if you have a question for him, feel free to call in. The number to dial is 011-883-0702. 011-883-0702. If you want to leave a voice note or send a text message, you can easily do that on 072-702-1702. 072-702-1702. Generally, we have this feature. This feature is on this show every single week, because at times we drown and pollute ourselves with negative news, politics, this, that, and the other. And for a change, we want to hear from South Africans doing great things. South Africans who don't necessarily make it in the front pages of the newspapers, who don't make it on our news, South Africans that we don't see on our TV screens, yet quietly in their lives, they are creating forceful and positive impact in society. And often we are accused as the media for perpetuating and propelling bad news, negative news, this, that, and the other. Now we are talking about the positivity of ordinary South Africans that are often not covered in the media. I'd love to hear from you. Perhaps you have a story that's exactly like him or similar, and you've had your challenges, or you want to ask him about the poultry business that he is in right now, how to enter the space, or you have a product that might be of interest, or you want to ask him for some advice. And he's telling his story right now. 20 minutes to 11 o'clock. 011-883-0702. So, Alien, you are now saying that you are at this company. It's a huge poultry company. Mm-hmm. And they are slaughtering about 80,000 chickens every single day. Yeah. This is attractive to you. And plus, you are in a business of about 4,000 chickens per cycle.
Yeah.
Per 36 days.
Yes,
and
yes.
You look at 4,000, you look at 80,000, and you're like, yo, now I'm with the big boys. I'm playing with the big league here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What happens then when you see all of this?
No, when I see that, I ask this man, I'm like, where do you get all these chickens?
Yeah.
He says, no, we've got our own farms, and we also give contract growing.
Mm.
I'm like, okay, what is this contract growing?
Mm.
He said, if you got a farm, you've got chicken houses, we can give you a contract. We give it day old chickens and the feed. You grow chicken for us. We come and buy.
Yeah.
And then we give you a shares after that. I'm like, you only need the farm.
Yeah.
He said, yes. And by the time I'm like, oh, I've got some saving here.
Yes.
I'm going to build a farm. So I can build these houses and all that. It's like, yeah, no, do that. Do that quickly, 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 because the opportunity is now. Now the market is opening. We need to start moving. I'm like, okay. So I go out with that guy. So I'm trying to do the research. I come in, I'm like, sit down on my computer. I'm sitting at home, like, look. Then I started doing research on chicken. I see, like, okay, it's even adding on our GDP. This chicken business is serious. It's real. It's there, you know. And for the contribution that it's doing into the country, I started looking at it. I see that we still need a lot of import chicken. We bring a lot of import chicken into the country.
Yes.
Then I'm like, okay, there's a need. If we're bringing something from outside, there's a serious need. Okay. Then I go out. I'm like, hey, my guy, this gentleman I'm like, hey, we need to start look for a farm.
Yeah.
We can at least build a farm of like 10,000. So this guy's like, no, man, there's a farm up the road here. And that farm has got chicken houses. Mm. Let's see if it's not for sale or rental.
Mm.
Then we go there. We approach the guys. They said, no, this farm is here. It's been standing for like almost 8 months. It's not operating.
Mm.
The farm is big. It's scary. It's got 19 chicken houses, Tabo.
Yeah.
And then each house can put 40,000 chicken.
Sure.
And then the other 9 houses can put 20,000. So the total capacity is 560,000 chicken.
Sure.
I'm like, is this farm available? They're like, yeah, but it's on a rental. It's a government farm. It's a CPA farm. I'm like, okay. How can one do this? I said, no, send a proposal. We've got two proposals on the table.
Yeah.
You can put your proposal. Mm. I'm like, no, I want to do my proposal in person. Can I have the team that is in charge of this?
Yeah.
I want to present myself.
Yeah. I don't want to write it down.
Yeah. They said, no, you need to put it on a paper so that we can get an appointment.
Yeah.
I'm like, to the gentleman, I'm like, can you just ask for a meeting?
Yeah.
Oh, the gentleman said, okay, it's fine. I will let you know if they agree.
Mm.
He go there, he ask them, there's a gentleman from Ulusoy.
Yeah.
He wants to present, you know, because now he wants to do chicken. Okay, there were like 12 committee members. They said, okay, no, let him come through. I go there, I'm sitting there, it's all people.
Yeah.
I'm the only young person in the room. I'm coming by myself. I'm alone.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. I'm not alone.
You know, I'm
alone. Walking with the Spirit.
You know? So I get there, I present myself, I tell them, look, this is going to be my first big experience in this industry. I'm doing 2,000 there, 2,000 there, but I want to go big.
Yeah, so, to enter the space.
Yeah, they said, do you have a contract? Who are you going to supply?
Yeah.
I said, yes. And I don't have. I said, yes, I do. They said, okay, no, it's fine. We'll look at it. I'm like, look at it in the perspective of saying, I'm one of your own to go into the space.
Yeah.
No, they understood me. You know, they agreed with me. They said, okay, it's fine. The next 2 weeks, they called me. They said, okay, they've agreed to appoint me.
Mm.
Then they gave me that list.
Yeah.
We signed the list. We agree on the terms. I'm like, okay, cool. Then we agreed that, okay, you will pay like 350,000 per cycle. They were saying 550,000 per cycle. I said, ish, it's
a bit steep.
Yeah. Can we go down for now just for a start of 6 months?
Yeah.
So they agree. Okay, it's fine. We'll give you, you'll pay 350,000 per cycle.
Per cycle.
Yeah.
That's 36 days.
That 36 days.
So you must pay them 300,000 every 36 days.
Every 36 days.
Yeah.
Then I said to them, look, 36 days, it's good. That's when the chicken grows.
But yes.
I need more days because after I place chicken, I need to clean, I need to prepare so I can bring it and just store.
Yes.
So they said, oh yeah, you're right. Then we ended up putting our cycle to 2 months now.
Yes.
So I had full 2 months. So every two months, I put 350,000. They agree. We sign. Now I go back. I get, there was already a team that was working there. I bring back that team, give them contracts, do uniforms. We started cleaning the house. We don't have a contract.
Yay.
I go back to that factory manager. I'm like, hey, Baba, I've got a farm now.
Yeah.
Let's talk business.
Yes.
That man is like, where's the farm? I'm like, no, it's just down there. He's like, oh, okay. We'll come and see it. Sharp. I send him the address. When they come to the farm, they realize like, no, actually, we were the one who were proposing for this farm also.
So they had wanted the very same farm.
They had the same very farm.
Yeah.
Now I came in, I got the farm. They're like, no, chief, we can't operate on this farm.
Yeah.
I'm like, but here's the farm. They're like,
yeah.
Now they're starting to unpack the history of the farm.
Yes.
We've been wanting to get into this farm for the past 3-4 years.
Yes.
We couldn't get, we were almost now in UK, but we don't have the space to do more, to slaughter more chicken or to take more chicken.
Oh. That sounds like jealousy.
Yeah. No, it was one of those.
Because now you have won, you've beaten them.
Yeah.
At the bid, and now they have sour grapes.
Yeah, so it ended up being like that. Okay, they didn't take me.
So who are you going to supply now? You've got a farm, it's huge. You must pay over 300,000 rands every 2 months,
and
there's no one to take your chickens.
And by the time I was on months two.
Yay!
So
now their rent is due.
The rent is due.
300,000 bucks.
Every month I'm paying salaries of the staff.
Yay!
I'm paying electricity of this.
Yeah.
So in that first month, I spent like almost 1 million rand.
Yay!
From my savings that I had.
Yes.
But I'm like hopeful. I'm like, I will get it.
Something will come up.
Then I go to the other neighbor. Like where I am, I've got like 3 abattoirs in my surrounding of like 5 kilometers.
Yeah.
I go to another one. I said, look, I need to, I've got a farm.
Yeah.
You know, there's an abattoir called Sangiro there in Hartebees. I approach Sangiro like, I need assistant. I've got this farm, but I need to, I need a contract, you know?
Yeah.
And after that, they said, okay, where's the farm? I said, no, the farm is here.
Yeah.
They said, no, this is the same farm. So they were farming in that farm before.
Yeah.
And
that's
then,
Sangiro.
That's Sangiro.
Yeah.
And then their contract, I think, expired or they left the farm.
Yeah.
You know, after that, then there was, the farm was standing for like 6 months to 8 months. So when I came on board, so I have beaten them and the other abattoir.
Yeah.
So all those two abattoirs, they said, no, we can't operate with you. So now I was stuck with a big farm.
You don't have anyone.
I don't have anyone to supply to. I don't have an abattoir to supply to. So some said, no, reach out to this, reach out. I reached out.
Yeah.
And then I was not getting any help. Yeah.
Listen, we're going to run out of time.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to cut out some of the details because we must be here till 12.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then when did you get your big break?
No, my big break, I got it when CIFA came on board.
Yeah.
Yeah. So while I was doing that, not winning, there's a company called Gruons. They come on board. They said, no, we can put 120,000 chicken. So we've agreed on that. They assisted me to get me that contract. They gave me a contract growing.
Yeah.
So now I went to CIFA. I said, CIFA, I've got this contract and I've got this farm.
Yeah.
I need assistant. I need to put chicken. I need to... Yeah. Put more chicken into this farm. CIFA came, you know, they look at the facility, put the application. Hey, my application is taking long.
Yeah.
Now, the things they're asking me, I don't have them, you know.
Yeah.
I don't, it's just that transition I was just starting, but
sure.
I don't have those documents. But to cut the story short, I went back to the office of CIFA. I'm like, look, I really need this assistant, this facility. I need to operate and all that. They had faced, they put my application in, my application took long because of the information I didn't have. So it took like almost 6 months.
Oh my God. And then in the meantime, how are you paying for this farm?
Yeah, I got broke.
Oh my goodness.
All my savings went into
The farm.
Went into the farm
So for 6 months, you've got chickens, you've got no one to supply those chickens to, but you must pay rent.
I must pay rent.
Yeah.
So when Gruons came, we were doing only 120,000 chickens.
So Gruons is now on board.
It's on
board. Taking 120,000 from you.
So now
it's not enough.
It's not enough because the farm can do 560,000.
Yeah.
But now here I am, I'm only producing quarter.
Yeah.
And that quarter, the mine that comes, it only goes to rent.
Costs.
You know? I still need to pay staff. I need to pay electricity. I need to pay water. All those things. So I'm still using my money.
Yeah.
So when CIFA came on board, I was like, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
You know, they took long, almost 6 months.
Yeah.
You know, but the good part I loved about it, they were engaging. Like they even, there was a lady that I was appointed to like work with me.
Mm.
She will ask information every day.
Mm.
Some of the information, I got angry. I'm like, I don't want to do this application anymore. I was like tired because the stuff they want, I didn't have there.
Yes.
She's like, no, please, man, come.
Just do it. Yeah.
I did it. And then, 2022 February, then they funded me. We started producing now.
Yeah.
So now we have increased our capacity to like 360,000.
So right now it's
360,000. Yes.
Per cycle.
So
every 2 months you are producing 360,000 chickens.
Yeah.
And who are you supplying?
I'm still supplying Gruons.
Oh my goodness me.
Yeah.
So there's a rainbow at the end of this story.
Yeah, there is a rainbow and we still want more rainbow.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Tell us about that.
Yeah, because the farm on its own, we can do 560,000.
Yes.
So we want to capacitate the farm. We want to do the whole full capacity.
So what do you need now to get to 560,000?
We need funding. We need assistance to come on board. Because, but we are in discussion. I've been having meetings with agriculture and also with the Department of Small Business.
Yeah.
Because we are building a value chain that can be able to sustain and go out to our young farmers.
Yes.
So, last year, I've managed to acquire an abattoir.
Yes. You know? Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes. So that abattoir, it's only producing like 2,000 bed per day. It's slaughtering only 2,000.
Only 2,000 per day.
Per day. So I need to expand it.
Yes.
So that I can be able to give the young farmers contract grow. I must be the crones to them now.
I see. So meaning they must, you are buying from young farmers.
Yes.
You are taking chickens from them. They are growing chickens. You are taking it from them.
Yes.
And there's the abattoir. So you're trying to create a value chain.
Yes.
Okay.
So what we are doing with that, we had a meeting with young farmers in the Renfontein site.
Yeah.
So we will give them contract growings. Once we expand the abattoir, then we won't have, I won't have to produce broiler chicken.
Yes.
I want to take it from this young
from them.
Yes.
So tell me, what is it? I mean, we have a whole lot of people who are listening right now.
Yeah.
And we have about 7 minutes to go. And some, of course, are looking for opportunities. Some are in the farming industry. I see someone is saying that, they're in a spice business and they want your contact details because they sell spices and herbs and everything else. So I'm just wondering, someone is listening right now and is saying, okay, Alien is looking for chickens. How many chickens does he need from me? It could be any number, but what do I need to have? Perhaps a farm. How do I then, what else does he need for me to provide him with at least 10,000 chickens per cycle?
No, it's if you've got a farm, you've got a facility that you're producing maybe 2,000, like what's it, 10,000.
Yeah.
We can have a meeting. We can, cause our abattoir, like I was saying, is only doing 2,000.
Yeah.
Until we expand, then we can take more contract growers. But
yeah,
if you've got a small farm that is doing 2,000, 5,000, yeah, we can give you a contract growing for that.
Yeah.
And then you can start supplying us.
Contract with growing means what? You're so speaking to broadcasters.
Okay. It means then I will give you the day old chicks.
Yeah.
And then the feed and say, grow me
these chickens.
Chicken. Take this one.
Okay.
Day, grow it to me.
Ah.
And I'll buy from you.
Yeah. But all I need is a farm, lighting, because chicken needs lights.
Yeah.
And security. Water,
yes,
and everything,
yes,
else,
yes.
And after 36 days you buy them from me.
Yeah.
After giving me the chickens anyway. That sounds like a dream. That sounds fantastic.
And it doesn't end there.
Yeah.
Because once they bring those chicken from me, once I slaughter from the abattoir,
yeah,
I've got a shop called Just Chicken,
yeah,
in Renfontein.
Yeah.
We are only selling chicken there. So we want to franchise and bring those shops in the townships.
Alien,
yeah,
that is the best opportunity I have had on this show. I think if anyone has been looking for a big break, you have just given them a big break. Direct, practical, and doable, let alone feasible. Guys, this is amazing. If this is not a great South African story, I don't know what is. Ulusoy, tell us about Ulusoy. Where do people find Ulusoy? But mostly, you need to grow in order for others to grow as well.
Yes.
What do you need? There could be a huge funder listening to us right now who loves your story. How? What do you need, and how can they get hold of you?
Right now, like I said, the one thing that we need is to expand our abattoir.
How much?
We're looking at like 14 million rand.
14 million rand?
Yeah.
Or even 20 million rand.
Let's say 20 million
to
rand.
To get things going.
Our abattoir, the EIA is there, it's been approved. So our water rights are there, everything is in place. So we just need that assistance with funding. Like what I said, we've got an application, we're doing it agriculture also. So we are hoping things can move so that once we start bringing the abattoir and we can bring these young farmers on
and
board.
Assist others as well.
Yeah, and assist. That's the main aim.
And where are you based? Where is this from?
We are based in Hartebeest, and
Hartebeest.
The abattoir is in Renfontein.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What a fantastic story.
Yeah.
Listen, we have 4 minutes. I'm going to try to take as many calls as possible. Please put on your... let's take just one. Please. Our producer Mkuseli saying, Thabo, there's no time. Let's take Fanny from Guatemala. Put on your headphones, please, Alien, so that you can hear Fanny. Fanny, hi, you don't have a lot of time. Go ahead, Fanny.
Yes. Good evening, guys. I'm Fanny Buddha from Springs. I'm currently in contact with the WBA Women in BRICS. We are currently assisting small-scale farmers. We are in contact with China, as you know what BRICS stands for.
Yeah.
China is in need of chicken feed. We would love to have a relation with the guy with you there. I would love to have your contact.
Listen, what I'm going to do, I'm taking you back to Ntateng, Fanine. Ntateng is going to get your details, and then Alien and you will be linked by Ntateng. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And Fanny, we're flat out of time. Alien, we're flat out of time. How do people reach you briefly?
They can reach us on Instagram, Facebook, and also on our website. So it's Ulusoy Africa Poultry.
UlusoyAfricaPoultry.com.
Yes, and then on Instagram is just, and Facebook it's Ulusoy Africa Poultry.
It's been fantastic talking to you. We are flat out of time, and I hope we will talk to you again.